Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. The Clatsop County Circuit Court includes two specialty courts, one for mental health treatment, one for drug addiction. Both help people to work their way out of a life in the criminal justice system. Judge Cindy Matthias presided over the specialty courts, in addition to her other duties, until her retirement at the end of June. It's a group effort involving probation officers, prosecutors, defense attorneys, and treatment providers. I sat in last month on the most recent drug court graduation. It was for Christopher James Beeman, a multiple offender, who worked to turn his own life around and now is helping others to do the same. Listen in now to portions of his drug court graduation, presided over by Judge Matthias.
You know, these programs save lives, and they also reduce crime, which is kind of important to the community. In fact, they are 35% more effective than standard types of supervision. So, but the most important thing is that they keep people out of the system, and they help people get their lives back, their families back sometimes, their children back, their future back. And so we're very excited. I want to introduce our team from the DA's office, Marissa Snyder. She represents the state. From treatment, Nicole Vance. From treatment, Stephanie Renzulli. From defense, we have Stacey Rodriguez. And then from the probation office, we have Dan Smith. Also, the glue that keeps us all together is our coordinator, Darla Aho. And today we have Jennifer, we often have Tina in the courtroom as well, making sure all the equipment works and that everyone has what they need. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what happens in drug court, you know, kind of from the beginning. So the first stage is the pre-contemplative stage, and that's where you're kind of living your life. People are bugging you. They're in your way. You're kind of doing what you want. You don't care because it's kind of working for you. And all these other people around you and agencies and police are just hassling you. And so that's pre-contemplative, and your overall response is, nope, not interested. Then next is the contemplative stage, where things are happening. Things aren't working out super well. And maybe you're thinking, you know, maybe there's something to what this person's been telling me, or maybe there is something I might be doing, you know, wrong. And so that's where the mind is opening up a little bit, and you're, okay, maybe there's room for some change. And then next is the preparation stage, the determination stage, where you're beginning to think, all right, yes, I can't do this anymore. I've got to start making a plan. And next is the action stage, where you're actually doing something. You're engaged in treatment. You're following the recommendations. You're making those changes in your personal life that are, you're seeing results from your changes and your action. And then the next part, and this is where graduation comes in, when you're in the maintenance stage, you don't need people hassling you anymore. You're doing it. You've already recognized that change has made the difference, and that's the motivation, the change in your life. And so these are the things that we stage in our program, and the participants here are at various stages of that dynamic. But what we ask of everyone and what you have to do in order to graduate is commit to a program of honesty, following the rules, of showing up, participating in treatment, whatever that may be, individual, group, homework assignments, medications. You have to participate in assessments to determine, you know, how those changes are affecting you and impacting you. And you have to have documented clean time. And as I mentioned, Mr. Beeman here has 734 days, I think I said. And so, and he'll be the first to tell you that he can't do it alone. And he didn't do it alone. I mean, a lot of you in the audience here have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and have been a part of that process of change. So I want to introduce and thank one of our special guests. We have a couple of them here today. But I'd like to call up Kelly Goss.
Hi, everybody. My name's Kelly Goss. My clean date is 8/19/92. You know, I'll just tell you a little bit about my past. You know, I had 28 Class A felonies. From the age of about 15, my problem was making things all right that weren't, and seeking sick attention and those kind of things. And you know, I went to 5 penitentiaries before I got here, in 3 different states. Now I go into the penitentiaries and they give me a set of keys. You know, I mean, that's a world apart from what it used to be. And, you know, when I got here, I was driving a two-bedroom Toyota, you know, and now I'm, well, I'm rich. And it's because of Narcotics Anonymous, and it was because of the treatment program that I went through, you know, and I was ready. After 5 other treatment programs, finally I was ready. You know, I was beat down, I was hurting, I didn't like who I was, what I had become. And through treatment, instead of trying to beat it like I always did, you know, I thought I did the treatment programs, but usually I was beating them. Park a car down the road, act like I'm taking a bus, go on a pass, do some kind of crime to get some money, and think the treatment was going to work, you know. So this last time I just went through treatment. I stayed clean. I did some hard things that I'd never done before, you know, and my life started changing, you know. Treatment's discovery, you know. And then after discovery, you get into recovery, you know, and you start doing different things, and you start, you know, you start doing some of the things that you made fun of most of your life because you couldn't do them. You weren't responsible enough. You weren't, you know, you just weren't able to do them, so you made fun of them, you know. And, you know, I learned here through the program that my mistakes are experience, you know. And when I used to be in the back of that police car after a run for a long time, I'd think, oh, I'm getting busted. But when I looked back at it, I was getting rescued. I was going to get my health back. I was going to get some form of sanity, you know, have some time to reflect on just how messed up I had been, you know. And so I've, you know, I think it was Thomas Edison that said, I have not failed. I discovered 10,000 ways that didn't work. And that's what happened for me in my life. See, when I look at it in a different way. So, you know, this gentleman comes to our men's meeting, anonymity buddy. But, and you know, it's inspiring to see other people get a clue. You know, I'll tell you, when I was sitting in the cell, I never thought at the Oregon State Penitentiary, I never sat and thought, well, someday I'm going to be an 8th grade girls basketball coach for the Park Bureau for 5 years. Or I never, my dreams weren't that someday I'll be in Italy or Rome or Spain or, you know what I mean, those kind of things. Those weren't my dreams. My dreams were about the big score. You know, how can I get the big score when I get out, you know? And, you know, I just, my life is so good, you guys. And it can be good for everybody. It's just a little bit of work, and it's uncomfortable, and you're doing something different that you haven't done, and it's risky, you know, but pretty soon there's some benefit in it. And pretty soon you're doing things and feeling things that you never felt before, you know. Recovery's changed my life. I'm just happy that there's programs now and that people believe that us addicts can get help, because there's some of us that are serious about changing our lives. You know, and I think I'm done. Thanks.
I also want to welcome and introduce a former participant and a graduate of this program to talk a little bit about his journey and what it took. So let's all welcome Travis Carroll.
My name is Travis Carroll. Graduated drug court in 2020. I, like Mr. Goss, am a 22-time convicted felon. I spent virtually 20 years property of Clatsop County parole and probation. I didn't get off of parole and probation until I graduated drug court. And it's the first time I've been off paper for most of my adult life. And my recidivism rate is really high. I am a habitual offender. I don't think that there's very many people in the community who thought that I would be this successful in my recovery. On Wednesday, my clean date is 6/15/18. So on Wednesday, I will be celebrating 4 years. God willing, I continue to do everything. So I was trying to figure out what I was going to talk about when I got up here, and I want to share with you guys a little bit of the history of how the court system has worked for me. In 2004, right after drug court had started, I was inducted into the drug court program with Judge Philip Nelson for the first time. I completed drug court in 2004, and Officer Barry Hazel was my probation officer at the time. So that tells you how long I was on paper. He had just started. So I graduated drug court. I got about 7 years of sobriety, and my mom got sick with cancer, and I relapsed, and my addiction had taken me to a place that I had never been before. And in 2013, my mom passed away from cancer, and my addiction spiraled into selling narcotics to provide for my addiction and my housing and to pay bills. And I made it a short period of time before I was arrested by Clatsop County Narcotics Task Force. And Judge Matthias is the judge who wrote the warrants on my search warrant. Stacy Rodriguez is the attorney who represented my children in my DHS case when my kids were taken from me. And I went to jail, and I got out of jail on a 44-month suspended sentence with a downward departure. And I made it 17 days on that suspended sentence, and I got revoked and sent to prison. I came in for my probation hearing for violating that suspended sentence, and a gentleman who's no longer with the Clatsop County Parole and Probation, who was my probation officer at the time, told the judge that it would be an absolute detriment to society to leave me on the streets. And so they revoked me and sent me to prison. While I was in prison, I attended a six-month intense inpatient treatment program. I would like to tell you guys that that worked for me, but it did not. I got released from prison. I was out about 90 days, and my father was diagnosed with cancer as well. So I was right back to where I had started. So I got out of jail with the 90-day suspended sentence, or the 90-day trans leave. I made it to the 90th day and I relapsed. And I can remember the shame and the guilt that I had when I walked into the probation office and signed the paperwork to get off a trans leave, knowing that I had just relapsed after, I stayed sober the whole time that I was in prison after the 44 months. And I relapsed again, and I was right back to where I started. And what ended up happening was I was out one night, and I got one of the least amount of charges that I had ever gotten, which was a simple possession charge. And it was one of the greatest gifts that had happened. At the time, the attorney that I had, the defender, had came back to me with a deal from the courts. They wanted to give me 60 days straight time, no probation. And I asked her if they would be willing to do drug court. And I think reluctantly, they gave me drug court. I don't really think that they wanted to, because I wasn't exactly a prime candidate to be successful. Like I said, history and my recidivism rate had all shown that there was no reason that I would be successful with this at any point in time. And so I think reluctantly they gave me drug court. And I was given an opportunity to, I couldn't get clean in the beginning. I absolutely could not stay clean. I lied a lot. I tried every way possible to cheat the system, to figure out a way around it. They sent me to treatment. It was the third time I had been to treatment in a year. And I ended up leaving treatment. And they told me that if I could come back and give them a clean UA, that I could come back to drug court and we could talk about it and try to figure it out. And I made it about, I would say probably 3 weeks, and I relapsed again. And I remember, because I had been trying to cheat the system, I would use on Fridays and try to be clean by Monday when I had to take a UA. And at the time, Mr. Hoover back there was my PO, and Cam was my counselor, and they came up with this, they devised this ingenious plan that I would have to UA first thing Monday morning and last thing on Friday, so that there was no room for error. But not only that, I had to UA three times a week the entire time I was on drug court too, mind you. So I came into court after relapsing. They had decided that putting me in county jail wasn't a sufficed probation violation anymore, because I've spent so much time in county that it wasn't really, it wasn't working. You know, we had to come up with a solution that was either going to work or drug court wasn't going to work for me. And the court mandated me to do 90 meetings in 90 days of 12-step recovery. And I was really reluctant at first. I can remember leaving the courtroom and telling Jessica when we get in the car, "Don't they know that I have a life?" And at the time, I didn't have a job. We were homeless, and that's the other thing. I spent the first year of in drug court and sobriety homeless. You know, it wasn't easy, and so they gave me the 90 meetings in 90 days. I started going. I was introduced to a few men who are here today, who are pivotal. Pieces of my recovery in the choices that I made in early sobriety to put me where I am today, and I'm really grateful for that. And so I started going to these meetings, and people started remembering my name, and they kept wanting me to come back, and so I did, and I started to catch a little bit of hope, and I started to catch a little bit of recovery, and it took a lot for me to want to change everything that I had ever known. Early on, my wife and I got in trouble while I was in drug court, which could have gone one of two ways. I could have spent the rest of my life in prison, or I could have been given some grace by God, and I think that that's what happened. I was given some grace. And I believe that situation that happened in my life was another pivotal moment where I got an opportunity to make a decision and a choice what the rest of my life was going to look like. I can tell you that I stay sober today. I can't promise you that I will be sober tomorrow or any other day. I know today that I am. I wake up every day, and I practice that every day, and it's worked for me for the last 4 years, so I continue to do it. And I'm so grateful. Any of you who are not giving this team an opportunity to help you benefit anything in your life, you're selling yourself short. What I learned very late on in drug court, which I wish I would have learned sooner, none of these people are out to get you, even the DA. She wants to see you succeed. Why? Because your recidivism rate. She doesn't want you to come back as much as you don't want to come back. What I know is I spent 20 years on paper, and there isn't one probation officer that sought me out and wanted to keep me on paper. Every single one of them wanted me to be successful. And I never gave that opportunity until I came to drug court, and I had an opportunity to build relationships with them and build a foundation on something. You know, I have a friend today, this blows my mind, that I spend a lot of my time with. He's a recovered narcotics task force agent, right? And I spend the better part of my life free away from work, fishing and doing things with him. And I never would have thought in a million years that that's where my life would be today. You know, I didn't think that I would be out on a boat chopping it up with someone that I peeked out the windows and hid from most of my life, you know? But the drug court gave me the ability to have that, right? To build honest relationships with people that I had no respect for and that I didn't want to have relationships with. And I'm really grateful for that today. I'm honored to be here with Chris. Chris and I have some history. I got to sit outside a drug court in those two chairs to the left when Chris first came in roughly 2 years ago. He made the decision to come into drug court. I may have had a little bit of sway in trying to convince him to sign the paperwork out there in there to save his life. And I'm grateful for things like that today. Mr. Beeman got to watch me overdose and die in one of those lovely trailers, that I no longer have to put myself in those positions anymore. But what I know is that we have an opportunity to do something different with life today, and I'm really grateful for that, and I owe a debt of gratitude to the drug court program and the entire team for having the patience that they had with me, because I wasn't an easy client. I know that I wasn't, and I started off my story the way that I did because I wanted you guys to see how it came full circle. This is the judge that I spent, 2.5 years with trying to change my life, who also signed the search warrant to kick in my door in 2013 when I was arrested the first time. And this is the attorney who took my children and defended them in the case against me, and what I know today is that she only signed the search warrants and the DHS papers to protect my children, and she was only doing what she was to protect my children. And I realized that God puts the things in front of me today for a certain reason, for me to look at life differently. And I get an opportunity to do that today because I'm sober. So that's all I got.
Almost want to start this like a meeting, so I apologize up front. My name's Dan, and I'm Chris's PO. And there are others in here that have really significantly helped you in your journey. And you look in the room here, and I see about 30 people, that have participated in your journey. But the bottom line is that it comes down to the work that you've done. You came in here, when I first met you, Chris, I don't know even know what time it was or what phase of supervision that I had early, and when I started this job, you were one of the first guys I had on my other caseload, and I was like, this guy's a mess, and then he split, and I was like, well, I pretty much knew he was a mess, and, I'd see him downtown before he got clean, and, he was on the other side of the street, and I told my wife, we're just going to stay over here for now. We'll cross down at the sidewalk, at the crosswalk, because I knew where he was at, and I didn't want to engage in that type of, at that point, but he was hurting, what I get to see, though, over this last 2 years is how your life has changed, and it's because, you got a sponsor that drilled you, worked you, right? Because he knew that you needed that, and you did what he asked you to do, I believe most of the time. All the time, right. Right. So, that's what it takes, is someone else had to guide you, but you were willing to do the work that he asked you to do. And, that's what good sponsorship is, and that's taking good direction today is all about, too. We don't get in here and just things happen, by osmosis. We have to do the work, and you do the work, Chris. And it shows in the family that you have, the people you surround yourself with today, and the real solid program, and I'm talking about the AA program and NA, that you do that has saved your life. You have saved your life by the work you've done. And I want to say I'm just really proud of you. There's a lot of people out here. Everybody here would say the same. That we're extremely proud of the work that you've done. And I look forward to seeing where your life takes you, because there's bigger and better things. Better motorcycles, more motorcycles, right? Leaves in the pool problems, right? So congratulations, and look forward to seeing what you do next. That's all I have.
Chris's mom, I cannot thank you enough that you didn't give up on him, that you hung tough with him, as we have over the last 10, 12 years with this. I am so grateful to all of you. You don't realize. And from a mom, I would have sworn we would have buried him 2 years ago. I was sure of it every time the phone would ring. You know, we got 5 calls. They were reviving him. And every time, your heart just breaks and drops. So thank you to all of you for your help and your support and not giving up on him. Chris, you are just the best. You are absolutely the best. Your dad and I couldn't have done any better. We are so proud of you. And thank you for choosing to stay in our lives. I owe you one, dude.
We've heard a lot about his accomplishments, but just let me say, not only sobriety, completed treatment, relapse prevention, consistent work with Julie and her team at ProFresh, new housing, rebuild relationships with his family, became a leader in our, not only in our program, but in the community. Not only got a sponsor, but became a sponsor, took care of health issues, dental issues, got your license back. you know, started a study group. You paid all of your court fees through community service and grit. You paid all of your restitution. And then you always say and remind us that in order to be successful in this program or in recovery or in life, is that you have to be open to life on life's terms, good, bad, or ugly. I signed an order today clearing all of your obligations in all of your cases with Clatsop County Circuit Court based upon the work that you've done, the payments you've made, the restitution you completed, and all the, you know, the community service you did. And so you are free and clear. And I also understand that Mr. Beeman is free and clear from his financial obligations at probation as well.
Awesome.
And I'm wondering, is there anything that you would like to say?
I'm going to keep it very short and sweet, and I'm just going to say thank you. No, that's it. Just thank you. You know, I appreciate everybody in this room sticking by me when I didn't even want to stick by myself, you know. Thank you.
We've been listening to Chris Beeman's graduation from Clatsop County Drug Court, with now retired Judge Cindy Matthias presiding. This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Thanks for listening.